It is August the 8th, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of Gerwick.net. And at this time, it's a pleasure to welcome a former WWE superstar, also in TNA, as Kip James, and of course, going back to WWE, the former Billy Gunn. Today, I give you a guy who I wanted to make clear and make sure I could call the name that I wanted to call him. But today, I think for the interview's sake, I'm going to call him Kip James.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Up front, Kip, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. You know, independently, you're still tagging a lot with the Road Dog, Jesse James, on the indie circuit. And maybe talk about the weekend you just had working for David Hero.
Yeah, we did a show for Dave Hero Thursday. Then we were supposed to do a couple other appearances. We went to I wish I could remember the name of it. We went to a Harley Davidson dealership for I'm so horrible at remembering names or remembering what the names of all these places, because we just kind of were going through, stopped by Harley Davidson dealership and right outside of Milwaukee, and just stopped and said hello and did some autograph stuff there too. But it was really fun. I mean, it's good to get out and kind of, you know, so people can see you. Cause I know it's been a long time since we're in WWE days, but that's mostly what people remember. They don't really, you know, my TNA days were, you know, not really that memorable. So, excuse me. So, you know, it's mostly about WWE stuff and WWF stuff. And it's good to get out and people and say hello and them, you know, because, of course, everybody goes, gosh, I grew up watching you since I was a little bitty kid. Now they're 40 years old. It makes you feel really good.
Well, I was going to say that up front, but I thought you probably heard that a few times.
But, you know, hey, you know, as long as it makes people happy that, you know, they can still see us, me and Brian, because like you said, me and Brian are doing a lot of stuff together. And it's fun. I mean, if you liked what we did back in the day, then you'll really like what we do now. It's almost like me and Brian like to call it, like, it's like half comedy show and half wrestling show, because you know, everybody knows that me and Brian weren't the greatest wrestlers, but man, we could entertain, and he is absolutely hilarious. So I mean, if now we have a stage where we're getting a little older, so we kind of, you know, we're getting wrestling. Our wrestling's become a little smarter. So, so now we do, you know, half comedy, half, you know, wrestling show. But I mean, it's a lot of fun, and we, you know, people still get to see us together, and we're still us. I mean, we're still the New Age Outlaws, and we still do whatever we want and have fun, and the people enjoy it. I mean, we wouldn't do it if the people didn't enjoy it. So I mean, at least that's what they tell us, that it was, you know, that they still enjoy it. So we'll still do it, and we have fun doing it.
I know you're getting a lot of independent booking, so people obviously still want to see the New Age Outlaws.
Yes, they do. So we're busy as can be, you know, which is fun, and it's good. And it's, you know, I'd rather be busy than not busy, because that means people are still interested. So if I guess if they're not calling you, they're not very interested.
That's true. Let's talk a little bit about Twitter, because you just recently got on Twitter. I know you and Brian have already gotten into a Twitter war. Talk about...
Yeah.
Twitter. How can people find you on Twitter? And
give us a scoop. This is my new thing, because I'm not, because me and Brian are not very computer savvy or very computer updated. I mean, I have two boys and they're ridiculous. I mean, I have to call them, or, you know, to ask my wife what, you know, how to get into my email and stuff still, I think. So, but we're into this Twitter thing, and I'm so hooked on it, it's ridiculous. So I'm learning all the new Twitter lingo and the Twitter, because another good thing about Twitter is that there's a lot of fans on there, and they ask me questions, which is really cool, because now it's like a forum for me to ask questions, you know, instead of them trying to get through me a different way or get to any superstar, really. I mean, if you just take time on there and answer a few questions every day, then people appreciate it. And that's what's cool about it. And you can find me, my Twitter name is @RealBillyGunn. You know, I'm working on getting that verified right now. And, but me and Brian got into this thing because Brian's into Twitter too. So me and him got in this Twitter thing because all my followers I call are like slash mark or hash mark or tic-tac-toe sign. I still don't know what to call that. It's like, you know, when you're trying to trend something or something like that, I guess. See, I'm getting pretty Twitter savvy here.
You're getting up on it.
So, My followers are called the Gun Club. Anybody that wants, you know, wants to be a member of the Gun Club and Billy Gunn. It was kind of started off as a funny thing. And then I kind of, me and Scott Armstrong, which is Brian's brother, kind of go back and forth because Scott goes to the gym all the time and Brian goes once in a while. But we kind of dog Brian a little bit. So Brian started firing shots at me because all Brian's followers are called the Kennel Club, which is KK, you know, Kennel with a K and Club with a K. So while we were on the road, we get into this thing about, you know, I'd tell all my people that Brian brought a dog to a gun, you know, gunfight. And it was just kind of, we were just, because anybody that knows Brian knows that he's extremely lyrically witty and he can really bury me. So it's really hard for me to come up with stuff that's like really funny, but I like really tried and I actually came up with some good stuff. But then again, all my followers started dogging him too, not dogging him, but we're kind of coming with some cool little phrases and stuff. So now we were going back and forth for like 3 days, just absolutely just, and people are tweeting going, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. You know, the New Age Outlaws are back because they, you know, it's just stuff that they expect from us, you know, yeah. And Brian's is at BG Road Dog James. So it was just something that we just started doing and people were going crazy. So we just kind of kept it up and there's nothing between us, but we were just having fun with it. And I'm like addicted to this Twitter stuff. It's like crazy. So we just had some fun with it. And then Tracy Brooks got in on it because I got to give her props. She's the one that came up with the Gun Club, you know, so that made me hot because I couldn't come up with it, but. It was a funny thing. So Tracy started getting involved a little bit and then me and Brian and then Dave Hero starts egging it on even more. So, you know, we're retweeting stuff and all kind of, and it was just, I mean, me and Brian were laughing so hard because people were coming, you know, his people, my people, they were all coming up with some cool little things and it just kept us entertained. It was hilarious. It was so funny. We just had so much fun. That is, you know, but that's what we do when we go on the road. We have fun. We don't make this really a job anymore. You know, we do it because we love it. And that was the fun of it.
And as we record this, you have almost 14,000 followers on Twitter.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
Brian has more than I do. And that's really pissed me off. I'm on there all the time.
I bet after this interview, you'll have more.
I hope so. I need to because he has like 1,000 more than I do. And that kind of pissed me off too because I'm on there all the time answering fans' questions and he never gets on there and answers fans' questions. Yeah, he doesn't have the phone to do it either. So, but it's like, you know, that hurt him the most because people go, we're not following Brian because he doesn't answer fans back. But people don't know that he can't answer back because he doesn't have like a smartphone or anything. He's really worse than I am. So that's kind of, you know, I was kind of bearing him on that too, you know. So I was like, I'd like me to get more followers than him.
Well, I'm sure you'll catch him. I mean, that's nothing. You can get a couple hundred a day. I mean, you know, once people find out the word that you're on the Twitter now, because you've only been on it for a short period of time. I think he was on longer than you have been. So,
yeah,
you know.
He was on just a few months longer than I was, so. But it's funny because we go back and forth, and I like it. I mean, it's a cool little form to ask, like I said, to answer questions. You know, fans have questions, and you get to answer them. You know, so I mean, and that's just another little form to get to people because I think it's a little harder on Facebook to kind of go back and forth to answer stuff. I mean, it's not that hard, but a lot of people aren't. You know, I don't really go on Facebook that much, but I do go on. I'm on Twitter every day.
And speaking of Twitter, when I plugged that you were going to be on with me doing an interview, we threw it out there on Twitter, and people are throwing questions our way. So there will be some questions in this interview
good.
From the Twitter followers. So definitely.
Good.
One thing I want to ask you, one thing I always heard like from Kurt Angle and Christian, once they left WWE and they jumped to TNA is they'd be spotted at an airport and people would come up to them and say, hey, how come you guys don't wrestle anymore? Did you kind of find that, you know, once you left WWE the big time and you went to TNA that there was such a drop off?
Yeah, I get that all the time. And that's one thing on Twitter too. Everybody goes, oh my gosh, it's great to see you on Twitter. What are you doing these days? You're not wrestling anymore. I went, yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's like, you know, because if you wrestle, obviously you want to be in WWE, and if people don't see you in WWE, they figure, that you just don't work anymore or you don't wrestle anymore, which isn't true. You know, a lot of, you know, wrestling fans don't realize how many indie shows are out there, how much stuff you can actually do out there without being in WWE or TNA, as a matter of fact, you know. So, I mean, just TNA's making its way up there, but they're just not, they're just not as big as WWE. So people just figure if you're not in WWE, you're sitting at home doing something else. You know, you're doing a different job, which I do have a part-time job at home that I absolutely love. I work at, it's called Champions. It's a sports-specific training center. It's like 22,000 square feet. We have indoor AstroTurf and a 3,000 square foot gym. And it's like all personal training, a lot of high school kids, a lot of college kids like that are playing football, baseball, soccer, anything, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And that takes up my time in between, you know, the wrestling stuff that I do.
That's awesome. And I'm sure you're very well recognized, I'm sure, there as well. So. Well, I want to ask you about TNA, because you were mentioning TNA, that, you know, they're up and coming. But, you know, they've been in business almost 10 years now, and yet, you know, they're obviously nowhere near WWE. What do you think TNA needs to do to kind of – they're not going to be competitive with them overnight, but what do they need to do to kind of grow and connect with fans?
Gosh, that's a really good question, actually, and extremely hard to answer. I don't really know. I don't really know what they would have. I guess they just have to get out more. I mean, if that makes sense, get out there more, get more notoriety, get their guys over. Get their guys more popular, get them out there doing things. Cause like WWE does all kind of charity work. They're on all kinds of TV shows. They do other things other than just the wrestling thing. But, you know, come on, WWE's been in business for what, 50 years? And TNA's been in for 10. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, they kind of got the brand name. If you're a new fan going to watch wrestling and you know you've heard of WWE, you know, you really haven't heard of TNA. Yeah, I mean, it's just a process. I mean, anytime you start a company, especially like that, where somebody has a complete monopoly on it, which is Vince McMahon, you know, trying to start out, it's going to be hard. And it's a lot of trial and error and a lot of stuff. I mean, they do have some good talent in TNA. I just think they need to get out more. Other things other than just wrestling. I mean, they have a great form in Universal Studios. You know, they have a good little production. And they just, from a wrestling standpoint, is they just have to get seen more and more notoriety, which means getting out there. I know I've said that 10 times, but that's pretty much all I can think of to do, you know.
Right. What happened with TNA? I mean, why are you no longer with the company?
You know, it was just a thing where they didn't, you know, I did a couple things. Me and Brian did some stuff. Then I did some stuff with Angelina and Velvet Sky. And then,
right.
You know, I did the girl thing, which was the beautiful people. And it was actually really good. It was something I loved doing it. It was fun to do. I was just more in a role of helping talent out. And they wanted to use me as an agent / helper / everything, you know, and I didn't have a problem with that,
right.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. They just didn't have, I guess they just, you know, I would rather them do what they did and kind of let me go. And if they need me, bring me back, then just keep me hanging on going, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I'm not talking about being, I don't need to be in a major storyline anymore. Just let me help people, you know, and it was just not, I was just in limbo so much that I just, you know, it was pretty much just, you know, let me go do my own thing for a while. And if you need me, just give me a call.
And of course you live in Florida, so it wouldn't be much for you to fly over to Orlando.
Right. I mean,
right.
Yeah, you don't have to give me plane tickets. I can drive there. It takes me 40 minutes.
What's your opinion of Dixie Carter as a TNA president?
I mean, she's in a rough spot. She's in a tough spot, you know, because if TNA doesn't do things or if they don't, you know, it all falls on her. If things aren't going good or, you know, things aren't right, nobody blames anybody but her. So she's in a tough spot, you know, and just coming in and trying to learn the wrestling business. And, you know, she's extremely business savvy, but, you know, this, as everybody knows, wrestling's a monster. It's rough, you know. So I mean, she's got a tough job, and she's got, you know, it's tough for her.
You know, a lot of the criticism too that falls not on Dixie Carter will fall on Vince Russo, and I know you worked with Vince Russo for a long time. What's your opinion of Vince Russo as a creative force in wrestling?
I think he's good. I mean, I just think he's, I mean, I don't know, kind of running out of storyline ideas, you know, kind of, you know, something fresh, something new. I mean, face it, I mean, even WWE's having a problem with that until recently with the CM Punk Cena thing. That's probably, you know, not to switch, you know, companies here on you, but
sure,
I'm thinking of it because it'll make me, you know. But I think that's the best thing that's happened in wrestling in years is the CM Punk Cena thing. I mean, it's making people watch. It's making people interested. So what can TNA do that same kind of buzz? You know, now wrestling has a buzz because that you have another guy that's coming out kind of – it's almost kind of Steve Austin-ish. Steve Austin-ish, if that is a word at all or
now
a
it is.
Phrase at all. You know, to where – because when Austin, you know, defied Vince and did all that, wrestling was hot. And now you have CM Punk, who's pretty much not going after Vince, but going after the whole corporate structure thing. And you've got Cena, who is, let's face it, the face of WWE, bar none, you know. So now you've got that conflict, which makes people interested again, you know. And I watched the Money in the Bank pay-per-view and really got talked into it, if I may say so. But I'm glad I did because it was good. I mean, Cena and Punk had one of probably the best matches I've seen in years. And the finish was tremendous. And then, you know, and that led up to a Monday Night Raw that could have been off the charts, but I kind of dropped the ball a little bit, I think, on that because that's Vince's thing is Monday Night Raw. That's his show. And it after that pay-per-view, I was so jacked to see Monday Night Raw. And then when I saw it, it was kind of a – and I still watch it as a fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not burying it at all because I'm out of the burying people stage because that got me in a lot of trouble. So
I've heard.
So, but it kind of – and I was kind of so looking forward to seeing Raw. And then I watched it, and it was like – I was like just dragging through to watch it, you know, it picked up a little the weeks after, you know, last Monday was pretty good. So tonight ought to be, you know, pretty good. So, but at least it's given people excited about watching wrestling again because they have something to watch. It's a good storyline and face it. That's what wrestling is. It's good storyline back in the Attitude Era. You know, when Monday Night Raw was over, there was 20 million people that were so pissed that it was over because you left them hanging. You know, you left them hanging to watch it the next week, and people couldn't wait to watch it next week. And that's what made the Attitude Era so good.
Yeah, we got a number of people on Twitter that wanted to know your current thoughts on both the WWE products and TNA. And if you get a chance to watch Impact, and you know, what's your thoughts on their show right now?
You know, I don't really watch that show that much. I just, because there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing that makes me want to watch it as a fan or as a wrestler. And I still love this business enough to where I am a fan when I watch it, you know, and there's nothing really stirring that makes me want to go, hey, take time out of my day to watch it.
Yeah, I watch it, and then the storylines don't make sense. They're not logical sometimes, and you know, like right now they're burying Samoa Joe, who is one of the more popular guys they have. There's just nothing there that really clicks with the fans. I think right now with TNA.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's fan. You have to be fan friendly and fan. You know, give them something that they want to see. Do they want to see Joe get buried? Yeah, they could if you do it the right way. you know, it's all in the way you deliver. It's all in delivery. It's all in the way you give it to the people.
You know, with TNA management, you know, you worked under Vince Russo and Dixie Carter. And when I talk to people in TNA or former people in TNA, the sense I get is the mentality there is they know what they're doing. They think this is successful. They think this is working. And when somebody suggested, hey, you know what, this is okay, but this could be better, the mentality is there to say, hey, we know better than you right now. But
come on, that's everywhere. That's not just the TNA. That's up north, too. So, I mean, I'll go ahead and stick up for them on that.
Well, WWE has a fan base. You know, I mean, that's a difference. I mean, WWE's been successful. TNA really has not been successful.
Right.
A larger degree.
But come on, they have because they're still in business. They have been, in a sense, successful because they're still in business and they still have a TV show and they still have people that watch it. So, I mean, can you say they're not? Yeah, could they? Everybody could do better. I mean, WWE could have done better the whole span that there was nothing worth watching until now. So now you can go ahead and now I think they can go ahead and say stuff about TNA because WWE's back on top again with this new CM Punk angle. So it's easier to drop the ball on TNA. TNA just has to come with something to equal that or equal it as much as they can with the talent that they have, and they've got good talent. They've just got to come with something that people are really into watching. But that just made sense.
I want to ask you, we'll kind of bounce around here, but what was your thoughts on Sonny getting into the WWE Hall of Fame?
It's great. I mean, she was the very first woman that was a diva or slash manager that was slash everything. She did everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it, good for her. You know, good for her. I think it's great.
Do you think China belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's done anything for WWE played a great role. I mean, still, you know, if you think WWE and you think women, China's right up there among the top two, along with Sonny, I think. Yeah, I think she deserves it.
What about for your legacy? Is it important that Vince calls you someday and says, hey, Billy, we're going to put you in the WWE Hall of Fame?
It would be nice. I mean, I would be lying if I said it would be nice and to know that I did have some kind of impact. And it would be nice to go with Brian, although, you know, nothing against Bart and the great tags that I've been in. Because, I've been in great tags. I've been fortunate enough to be in, you know, a great position in wrestling. And that only comes from being around great people too. I mean, I've said this before. It was, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you're probably one of the greatest tag guys ever. And it doesn't just go to me. It goes to the people I've been around. I mean, and I would love to go with Brian. I would love for the New Age Outlaws to go together because I think that's what my defining career was is when me and Brian joined DX and when me and Brian formed New Age Outlaws.
Yep.
You know, because we were formed thinking that we wouldn't do anything. And boy, were they wrong.
One of the questions from Twitter is they want to know the whereabouts of Bart Gunn.
He is in Titusville. He, you know, he went to Japan for a while and had a great career over in Japan, then just got out of it and started doing a little MMA stuff. And now he's a master electrician. I mean, he is like at the, you know, one of the top five guys in the electrical business. But he works out at the Cape, which is over in Titusville right here in Florida. So I talk to him a lot. You know, I talk to him at least once a month and just to see what he's doing. And we'll get together once in a while just to hang out, you know, and talk. But he's still doing good. He's doing really good. I mean, he's got a great job and he loves what he's doing, you know, and he's doing really good, actually.
And we just recently had another of your tag team partners, Chuck Palumbo, on the line, and of course he has his own business now and does music as well. And
yes,
just wonder if you ever talk to Mr. Palumbo anymore.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I got a hold of him on Twitter the other day.
Twitter, right?
And I just asked him how, and I talked to him too about what he was doing, and he's doing really good. You know, he's got the motorcycle thing. He's opening a new gym. Open a new gym there, and he's doing great with the motorcycle stuff. So, and he's doing great too. I think, and all these guys don't have to wrestle anymore, which kind of pisses me off too.
Well, again, you'll go back to Twitter. There's another question somebody had is, I think it was Kevin from Twitter. Want to know how many more years do you think you'll be active in the ring?
You know, as long as I still have fun doing it. You know, if I still have fun doing it and my body says, okay, you can do it. You know, that's how long I'll do it. You know, I don't really have a set time to do it. I just, you know, I don't sit around going, gosh, how much longer do I really want to do this? You know, because I still have fun. I still have fun. So as long as I'm having fun and my body's not collapsing on me, I'm good.
I think I know the answer to this one, but somebody wanted to know which was worse, Voodoo Kin Mafia or Rockabilly?
Oh my God. Rockabilly's number one over everything I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrible.
What was your thoughts on doing the Voodoo Kin Mafia gimmick, though, overall?
I didn't see anything wrong with that. I mean, it was something that, you know, I think a lot of people expected us to kind of, when we got together, do something, you know, and that's, you know, of course we didn't do it as New League Outlaws there because somebody wouldn't give us our name, but, I mean, you know. It was something for me and Brian to do, you know.
What's been your overall favorite WrestleMania moment?
Favorite WrestleMania moment?
Probably Foley and Funk.
Yeah. I mean that would be it. I mean, other than being at the Sky Dome in Toronto in front of 89,000 people or 84,000 people, you know, that was kind of cool being in front of that many. That's a lot of people to wrestle in front of, you know, that and the Funk thing. I mean, that, you know, was that what there was a defining moment for us too, I believe, you know.
Yeah. Do you have any hopes or aspirations of working for WWE in the future?
Yes. I mean, people ask me that constantly every single day. They go, do you think you'll ever go back? Do you think that, you know, WWE, if they were to call me and say, hey, we have a spot for you. We'd love you to go down to the training center that they have in Tampa, or we'd like you to come back and just kind of have input on the younger guys and kind of help them out or be an agent or be, yes. Yes, I would go back in a heartbeat. I mean, why, you know, it'd be stupid. This is what I do. Wrestling is me. I mean, that's what I do. That's what I love to do. I love to, you know, anytime I can even at independent shows when guys go, hey, can you watch and just give me some, yeah, if you want to know what I know or, you know, not that I think I know because I think I know mostly everything, which I don't. I'll just throw that out there before.
That'll get you in trouble sometimes, won't it?
and that's right there is the thing. What brought me and what kept me in wrestling so long is it is something that you can do and never know at all. I mean, you just can't if you don't shut your mind off and you don't think that you just because you know you've been on top and you've been one of the top guys in this business and been at an era when business was ridiculous. If you just keep your mind open and keep learning, you can learn something all the time, and that's the great thing about this business. You know, and I love giving it away. I love giving what I know away. I have no problem with that.
Well, I guess the question would be then, too, have you ever called them to maybe engage and see if there's any interest in bringing you back in some capacity?
Yeah, every day.
Okay.
I call Johnny every day.
And what does Johnny say?
he just says, not right now. He he's nice. I mean, he's cool about it. I talk to him once in a while, you know, just to kind of let him know that I'm still good. You know, and I'm, you know, if they ever need me, all they have to do is call, and that's all they have to do. You know, that's really all they have to do is call me, and I'd love to come back.
You know, you were talking about, you know, if young wrestlers may want to ask you for your opinion on something. I guess, you know, I'm thinking WWE right now has definitely been in a kind of transitional period. We see a lot of new faces pop up on WWE. What do you think of their product overall from a standpoint of, they're kind of getting away from a lot of the gimmicky characters. They're real kind of product that is what the product that people want to see today.
I don't know. I got mixed, a little bit of mixed about that. I mean, there's nothing that catches people's eyes because everybody's just
generic.
Them. They're just yes.
Yeah.
It's really generic.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's go to this store that sells nothing but generic stuff, and it won't matter what you get. You can just go through there and close your eyes and buy stuff.
Yep.
But if you
That's
go to a
I
store
feel.
That has all kinds of variety of things, then it makes you, you know, excited that, well, I don't have to get this. This is a lot better, and it looks very cool. And, you know, so it's, you know, I just think they're a little too generic right now. There's no characters. There's no, you know, because everybody just wants to be John Smith.
Right.
You know, if you got a bunch of John Smiths, then it's not hard to find a John Smith in the phone book.
I mean, there's no managers anymore. There's no tag teams. There's no characters. There's no gimmicks.
Yeah, there.
Here they are.
I know Vince doesn't like tags, but man, if they're done right, they're exciting and they add something to the show. And their tags, I don't even know if they even have tags up there, do they?
Well, they have tag team champions, but most weeks I can't remember who they are because they're probably ever on TV. So
I mean, I've watched it a couple times, and I haven't even seen. I mean, I see guys just thrown together to tag, but I haven't seen anybody that, you know, that you could say, hey, these guys are tag teams.
No, not at all. What was going back to TNA? What was the highlight of working for TNA? What was the best moment or favorite?
Probably when I was with the girls, with the beautiful people. I mean, that was. It was fun because we could do all kinds of stuff. You know, I got to play more of a manager slash get beat up role, which is, I like that. So, I mean, it was more, you know, it was kind of took me back to my Mr. Ass days, you know, because, you know, just to kind of relive those a little bit because I got to play an arrogant, thought I was, you know, better than everybody else kind of a thing. And the girls did a good job and we kind of clicked a little bit. You know, we all had fun and did our thing, and that was probably that. I mean, that's the only thing I can remember that I did when I was there. You know, of course, me and Brian did our stuff, but that was kind of, you know, nothing that compares to New Age Outlaws. There's nothing that's going to compare to that, of course.
Well, speaking of the Mr. Ass gimmick, who came up with that? And
Brian.
The thing that always, when I think of that gimmick, I always think of that theme song.
Yeah.
Where did that theme song come from?
I don't know their music department. And you know what? Everybody that gets a hold of me on Twitter says that's one of their best songs, and everybody has it on their iPod.
Oh, I mean, when you think of wrestling themes, it comes to mind right away. You know,
Brian actually did the Mr. Ass thing. That's where I got it from. I mean, we came out on a Monday Night Raw, and everybody knows that Brian always got live mic, and everybody always in the office always cringed when they handed it to him because they never knew what he was going to say. But then again, he never knew what he was going to say either until he started walking out and just started spilling out of his mouth, you know, just like on cue. But he was mad. I mean, and Brian really rarely ever gets mad. And he came out on a Monday Night Raw and just started cutting this ranting promo that you will no longer call me Badass Billy Gunn. You will call me Mr. Ass, and you will call him Mr. Dog. And, you know, it was like a Mr. This and a Mr. That. And I looked around, and I didn't even think about it. It was nothing that I thought about because I just half the time just go down there because me and him just did our thing. And then the very next, and I mean the very next Monday Night Raw, there were so many Mr. Ass signed up. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous. Because no matter what Brian said, everybody took it as like he was writing the new Bible. That's a little strong, but I mean, they took it for gospel. And since that one night on Monday Night Raw when he called me Mr. Ass, it just went like, it was like just starting up. You know, lighting a match in a forest fire that's been dry for like 3 years. It was ridiculous. But it was fun. It was something different. People, you know, were into it, and, you know, I liked it, so.
That's the most important thing. If you like it, you embrace
it,
and
exactly.
You can run with the ball, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like going back today, who would be comparable to that character? They just, you know, it's just John Cena and Ted DiBiase and Randy Orton right down the line.
Dolph Ziggler, baby.
Dolph Ziggler. Oh, hey.
Dolph Ziggler's
my new. Hey, yeah.
It's my new superhero.
There you go.
Because he does my finish. I just think he's good. I think he's got – I just think they need to turn him loose a little bit. They just need to loosen the reins on him a little bit and let him just kind of have that kind of attitude. If he could just, you know, have that kind of attitude, just a, you know, that kind of Mr. Ass attitude, he would – he's good. I like watching him. I like – and everybody – you know, everybody always says, well, he's just a carbon copy of you. No, he's not. He's his own self. He just happens to do cool stuff that I used to do.
He just has great hair like you do, right?
Yeah, right?
Until they colored it, and then it was like, what are you doing? You
know? Yeah, but he's good. I mean, he's fun to watch. I love watching him.
What was the best year for you financially in wrestling?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. My wife never let me have control of that at all. So no I way. Never. that was one of our big no-nos. I got to spend what I wanted, but I never got to dip into that at all. They were good. I mean, you know, the whole attitude there, that whole stint. You know, it was good. I mean, it was financially good. I don't know numbers or anything like that, you know, because of course and then once we joined DX and got that kind of merch, you know, money and stuff, it was good. But I mean, I couldn't tell you numbers, nothing. I never was into that.
And obviously you still get royalties from WWE films, correct? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is good.
Yes.
So every time they show you on TV, you're like, yes, payday, payday,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. You know, you had made comments that kind of got you in a little bit of trouble in the past. Of course, you were you made some comments about Triple H, and I just wondered if you reconciled with him. Do you ever talk to him, or what's your relationship like with Hunter currently?
I haven't talked to him or nothing, but I heard that he has no hard feelings. I tried to call him a couple times, but you know, we were always on the wrong. You know, we're on wavelength. Nothing bad. I mean, it was just, I tried to get a hold of him. You know, he's busy. You know, we're all busy these days. And, you know, it's, you know, that's something I wish I could take back. And it's not, and I don't say it just because I want to go back to work there. It's just, you know, once you get older and realize what I was doing, I mean, I mentioned this on another interview that I did. It's, you know, when I got released, I wanted to blame everybody except me. You know, that's what we do as people and as not everybody, of course, but, you know, we want to believe that it's somebody else's fault, not our fault that we, you know, things go bad or things go wrong or things don't go the way they should. It's because of somebody else. And he was the target of that.
Right.
You know, he just happened to be the target that I went for. And, you know, and that's pretty much it. He was the target of my faults, and he shouldn't have been. You know, I wasn't, you know, mature enough or man enough to just take it that it was my fault, you know, because at that time I didn't believe it was my fault, which it really was. I mean, it was my fault, but just, you know, if I ever see him or ever get to talk to him, I'll tell him that face to face that that's what I did, you know.
Well, it's good that he's not holding a grudge then, you know, because that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts on Triple H and, of course, Stephanie going to be someday running WWE. What kind of direction do you think they'll go once they're, you know, fully in charge of the company?
I don't know because I'm not them. I don't know. I mean, he's got a mind for the business. He really does. So does Stephanie. They're all, you know, they got a mind for the business. So, you know, and eventually somebody's got to do something with it. You know, it's not like it's going to go anywhere. You know, that wrestling will always be around, you know, and why not them take it over? You know, Stephanie's really good at that job. She knows it in and out, you know, so does Hunter. So, you know, do I know what direction they'll take it? No. Do I think they'll do a good job with it? Yeah, of course I do.
Well, I guess maybe, you know, some people are saying that Triple H is more for in-ring wrestling more so than the entertainment aspect. Do you see that? If once he's in charge, that maybe they'll go more wrestling oriented rather than maybe more sports entertainment oriented.
You know, I don't see it. I think he realizes that You have to have something other than just wrestling all the time, because that gets boring. When was wrestling hot? DX and Austin and Rock and Mick Foley, because it wasn't just wrestling with them. It was the entertainment part, whether it be interviews, whether it be us making fun of people. You know, you just have to, he knows that you have to throw some kind of entertainment in there.
What was it like during the height of the Monday Night Wars, where, you know, every Monday night there was two really hot shows, and then, you know, Tuesday you couldn't wait to see what the rating was, see which show did better, you know, versus, you know, today is, you know, here's the Raw rating, and then, right, you know, later in the week we might see what Impact did. But what was it like to week after week going, we got to come up with something new, we got to come up with something innovative, you know, they have the NWO, we have to come up with something more edgy, and, you know, what was it really like to be a part of that period?
It was great. I mean, it was great. I mean, because we got to do, you know, then we got to just, it was, you know, when we showed up or when we had ideas, we just started spilling them out amongst all of us. And you know, to keep up or to do something better than that, we really didn't care what, in a sense, what they were doing. It was, what can we do? What can we do to just make people go crazy? Or what a, okay, I know, let's get in a tank and drive to their show. Hey, that's a good idea. Or,
yeah,
you know, or hey, let's dress up like, you know, the Nation and make fun of them. Or hey, let's go blow up Vince's, you know, $30 million plane. Or, you know, let's go blow up a $200,000 bus. Or, you know, and everybody would go, yeah, that sounds good, let's do that. You know, and it was a lot of fun, because yeah, one, you want it, Tuesday was like a nail biter to make sure that our ratings were up, but it was just fun coming up with new and funny stuff to do. Even if it just made us laugh, it was worth it.
What's the biggest misconception people have of Kip James?
That I'm an asshole. Because I do come off like that, and I don't mean to. I just, you know, until you kind of get to know me, I, you know, back, you know, a lot of people get that from back in the day, and I was, you know, pretty arrogant. I was pretty, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but that's, you know, that was, you know, one of my faults. But you know, there's nothing I can do about that. That's in the past. You know, I can change what I can do from here forward and what people think. You know, because people come up and go, God, I've heard you're real, but you're a really nice guy. And I went, well, okay, it's because you didn't know me back in the day. That's why. You know, because, you know, I let things get to me when I shouldn't have let them get to me, and kind of, you know, you know, I had some faults in me. I had a bunch of them, but, you know, I'm working on them.
I guess when you do Mr. Ass, you know, it's, you kind of live that to a certain degree.
Well, you do, and you kind of don't have to, but, you know, yeah, I have a lot of things I regret, you know, and that's one of them, you know, but yeah, you know, I can fix it from here on. There's nothing I can do about it now, you know, but people that know me now go, you know, it's hard for me to picture you like that. And I went, no, go ahead. You can go ahead and try to picture me like that and just go like three times worse. but you know, it's like I said, it's something that's in the past, and I, you know, I fix it and try to be a better person today for it, you know.
Well, you piqued my interest there. You said you have other regrets. What are some of the other regrets you have?
You know, family-wise, not, you know, never being around. You know, I have two boys. I have one that's 20 that's at FSU now. I have one that's 16 that's, you know, going to be a junior this year in high school. And, you know, just, you know, you don't, you know, you wish you'd have spent more time. I mean, every time I see him, my oldest one is taller than I am. And I'm like, where did you come from? You know, what, you know, but then again, I chose that, this business, and that's where it took me, and took me away all the time. And, you know, I just wish I'd have had more time with them. I wish I could spend more, you know, been around for them more, you know, which luckily for me, they don't hold it against me. And I have a great relationship with my kids, you know, but. It's, you do stuff on the road that you wish you wouldn't have, you know, but I paid for that because they were my decisions, and I have to live with them, and I have to, you know, make up for that, you know.
I think you've kind of already addressed this, but some people want to know, you know, what ultimately happened with WWE and why did they let you go in 2004?
They called me and said that they had nothing for me anymore and really didn't know what to do with me, so they were just going to release me. And I have to take them for that they had nothing for me. I don't really know what happened. I just, you know, after I hurt my shoulder and was home, they were going to send me to Louisville. They still had that Louisville developmental going on at the time. They were going to send me there, but they just, you know, I guess I just didn't have anything left for me. So they just, you know, released me. I mean, that's as much as I know.
What are you like away from the ring, and are you at all a video gamer?
I am not a video gamer at all. At all.
So you've never played yourself in a video game?
I have, I think, once or twice just to check it out. But I work part-time. I spend time with my wife. I, you know, do stuff with her. And I don't really do a lot of stuff, you know, whenever my kids are around or home or when Colton comes home from college. Or I go up to the football games, FSU football games, and hang out with him, you know, when they have home games and stuff like that. And I spend time with my youngest one, you know, I go to his games whenever I'm home and can get to those, and he comes over and eats every now and then, and I don't really do that much, you know. That's it. I just try to spend as much time with my family as I can.
You were always loyal to WWF at the time. You never went to WCW. Did you ever have any interest from their end to bring you to WCW?
No, I never ever wanted to go there. Never, ever. You know, when me and Bart first started, WCW was going on and, you know, they had told us that we didn't have any talent or anything. And then it was like 2 weeks later, Vince hired us, and obviously you can see where that no talent went. So, you know, I never had any notions to go there, nor they never asked me either. You know, and I'm pretty sure that if I'd have left there, I maybe could have got a job there. You know, I can't answer that, but I never had any notions to go there. I wanted to stay where I was, you know, appreciated and could do what I wanted to do, you know, work-wise, and help how I wanted to help and do what I wanted to do. So, no, I had never had any notion to go there.
And we see where WCW is today, so.
Yeah, right.
So, funny how that works out sometimes.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Somebody wants to know if you're under a WWE Legends contract.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Nope.
What's been the biggest rib you ever played on somebody? Or maybe the opposite. What was the biggest rib ever played on you?
Well, me and Bart got super glued in our hats when we came back and put them on, and they got stuck on our heads. I mean, ooh, that's one. I never was much into that. I never, you know, I was me and Bart or me and Brian or me, period. I was never into that. That I know a lot of guys were, and I've seen some pretty funny ones where people get all their stuff chained to the top of a building somewhere where they can't get it down, or, you know, it's, but I was never into playing that game because I didn't want stuff done to me, so I surely wasn't doing it to other people.
What is your relationship like with Sean Waltman?
Oh, it's good. Me and him just worked together about 2 weeks ago in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And we had a blast. I hadn't seen him in a while, but it's good. Our relationship's really good. You know?
And then somebody wants to know your relationship with Shawn Michaels.
I don't really have a relationship with him. Are we friends? Sure, we're friends. But I don't really have a, you know, talk to him kind of a relationship with him.
Okay. Should there be a union in pro wrestling?
I don't think so, because then it just really gets, then it would really become a mess, I think.
Yeah, and I really don't ever see that ever happening.
Yeah, no, that will never happen, but, I mean, it would just be a mess if it did.
Somebody wants to know if you are into mixed martial arts.
No, it hurts. I don't do anything that hurts me.
How about a fan of, like, to watch UFC or...
Yeah, I mean, it's just another form of, you know, entertainment or what we do, or beating each other up. And God knows that, you know, us as people in society love to see train wrecks. So if you can watch somebody else get beat up and it's not me, yeah, I'll watch it.
Have you ever considered or been approached about writing a book?
No, My wife wants me to, though. My wife wants me and Brian to write a New Age Outlaw book.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. She's asked me that all the time, too. She'll ask me that all the time. She goes, you and Brian need to write a book. You and Brian need to write a book. But as of right now, it's not in the works, but who knows?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I think you have a lot of great stories being the New Age Outlaw all those years, you know? Just the road stories alone would be a good seller, I'm sure, right? Someone says they would vote for you if you ever became the next Jesse Ventura. Are you very political?
Well, that would only be one. And I'm pretty sure you need more than one vote. And I appreciate that one vote, but no, I'm not political at all.
So you can't solve our debt crisis.
I can't solve my own problems, let alone solve somebody else's problems.
What was it like winning the King of the Ring?
That was great. It was good. I just wish they would have followed up and let me do something after that. It would have been even nicer, you know. But it was good. It was, you know, to win them, you know, that's like one of their big pay-per-views at the time, you know, and if you can go through and win that, that's, you know, it's more of an honor than anything, because they, you know, that means that you worked hard and you deserve something like that. And that was really cool.
Do you have like any regrets in this, in standpoint of you're predominantly known as a tag team wrestler, even though you've done, obviously you did have some singles runs, but do you feel like maybe you missed out on a good singles run as a maybe a world heavyweight champion?
No, because I don't have any regrets of that, because I was good at tags. I was good with partners. I could, you know, I was good at that. So if I'm good at something, I don't want to steer away from it. Yeah, they tried to let me run a little bit with The Rock, and I thought that was good. I mean, I just wasn't much into the singles thing. I just like tags. I like what you could do with them. I like that you have four guys that you could kind of just, you know, maneuver around and do other things, and it's exciting. If they're done right, they are so exciting and so much fun.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You know, not that singles aren't, it's just who the singles guys are that could make it exciting, but tags, if they're not bland and if they get things right, there's so many things you can do in a tag that you can't do in a singles, you know, and I just love tags. I really do. I just think they're fun and exciting and fun to put together and all that stuff. So no, I don't mind not being known as a singles guy. I like being known as one of the best tag guys there is. At least I'm known for something.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you. You know, tag, I grew up watching the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Hart Foundation, British Bulldogs. And so I think that's one of the things I really miss about today's wrestling. I mentioned before, there's really no tag teams and there's no managers. And then when you put the manager in the role of a tag team and distract the referee or distract one of the baby faces, that's great drama. I don't know why they don't do that anymore.
It is good. And that's the word right there, drama. It is good drama. You know, and that's what wrestling is. It's just a big soap opera, and soap opera is all about drama and making up good drama. So, there's been a lot of great tag teams, and that's, I think they're missing the boat on that. I mean, but you could have more single stuff, and I realize that their bread and butter is singles things and, you know, what they do with the world champ. But come on, when me and I'm not trying to plug me and Brian, but when me and Brian held those tags, it was the hottest it's ever been up there. It was the tag belts actually meant something. Tag teams actually meant something. And we had a bunch of them, and we had some good ones, you know, and it was, and I don't know. I just don't see it getting that hot again.
No, I don't. The mentality there is tag team wrestling doesn't draw, and they don't keep tag teams together long enough to draw or to get over.
Right.
They're always about breaking them up and, you know. And TNA is always notorious of putting two guys together, and then next week they're already feuding. So,
right.
Did you ever turn down a storyline or a gimmick?
No, obviously I didn't, because I did Rockabilly. If I was going to turn anything down, it would have been that. No, you know what? I didn't know, because that's my job, is when they come to me and say, you know, if they come to me and say, hey, what do you think about this? I tell them what I think about it, but you're going to do it anyway. They're going to stick it on you. So if you can do it and get it over and go, ha, 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 because half the time it's they're trying to just rib you or try to, you know, see if you can do it. I didn't turn anything down. They could have come to me with, you know, whatever they wanted to. Gosh, I was gay on TV. How much worse can it get than that?
That's true.
But you know what? We got it over, and it got over. And, you know, at the time when nothing was going on, that got over, and that was what was getting talked about. You know, it's just like I do a job. I work for WWF at the time, and when they come to you and say, hey, can you do this? I go, yeah, I can do it. I never said, no, I couldn't do anything, because there's nothing I can't do. You know, is there something I'll fail out? Yeah, maybe, but I don't think of that as I'm going into it. You know, and as much as I hated rockabilly, I tried to do it. They just pulled it off of me. You know, because my heart wasn't in it. I'll just be honest about that. Because it was just, it was supposed to be something a lot more than it was, and they just put no effort into it and just threw me a jacket with a bedazzler, where they gave it to a bunch of three-year-olds and had them do my jacket with a bedazzler kit. And there was no effort put into it at all. And you're going to separate me from Bart and have me start a singles, and you're just going to do something like that? Come on. Really?
Do your sons have any aspiration of getting into pro wrestling?
No, 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 and no. None whatsoever.
Is that something?
Nor were they ever allowed. And that's a little harsh, but no, it wasn't that. You know, people always ask me, they go, well, what if your son? They don't want to. They don't want to. They don't have any notion to do it. They grew up with it. They know how it is, and nor do I want that for them. This business isn't, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about this business, that people think that this is all glamour and it's all great and it's, you know, you get to be on TV. And let me tell you, that's only a small part of what you do. You live, eat, breathe, sleep, walk this business. If you're any good, or if you have anything, you know, if you ever want to be somebody in this business, that's what you have to do. It consumes your whole life. It's just the travel and the, you know, being in a different place, getting a different rental car, you know, trying to sleep whenever you can. You know, it's just really, really hard on you. And my kids saw that. Do they know everybody? Can they wrestle? Sure they can. They can do it all. But they've never, and I've never point blank, I mean, well, that's a lie. I have point blank said, you know, you guys just aren't going to do this. This just isn't something for you. Nor do they need to. I mean, my kids are extremely talented. I mean, my oldest one got an academic scholarship at FSU. He's extremely smart. So is my younger one. He plays lacrosse. He's got 7 scholarship offers already to play lacrosse wherever he wants to. So why would they want to do it? I mean, I've taken them on the road with me, and they just come to me and go, Dad, this is ridiculous. There's no way. And I went, I understand that. I know. But I did, you know, I did what I did for them, you know, so they didn't have to do this. They could do, you know, go and do whatever else they wanted to do that their heart was into. I mean, did they have great times doing this? Yeah, I have pictures of when they were little, drawing little pictures of The Rock and me, and, you know, and they've gotten to meet everybody. They've been in the ring with everybody, you know, but they just don't have any notions to do it. And I'm glad. Not that there's anything wrong with it, because this was me. This wrestling was all me. It is not them.
If you were their age today, do you think you'd still get into pro wrestling?
I don't know. I mean, this was just, I don't know. I never watched it growing up and went, hey, I want to be a wrestler one day. I've never did any of that. I just fell into it. And when I did fall into it, it was a time when I had nothing else going on, so I had nothing to lose, really. And not that I'm not saying that as a bad thing at all. I'm just saying when I got into it, I got taken to a ring, and it's not like, you know, people are hand-fed this job now. I got the crap beat out of me. And I mean, for 4 hours, weeks on end. And I mean, just literally beat up. But I loved it. I loved it. And then eventually I just said, time out. I said, enough of this getting my butt handed to me. I'm over that. And they went, okay. now we'll teach you something, because now, you know, we know that you'll do it and not just doing it just for the thinking that you're going to be, you know, famous doing it, you know?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the return of The Rock?
I think it's good for business. That's what it is, good for business, because he is still, I mean, you know, the movie career he's had, the wrestling career he had before that, and now you bring him back. Yeah, it's good, especially it's smart, because now they're going to be in Miami. You won't find a place to stand or sit in that place.
Who is your favorite wrestler of today?
Favorite wrestler of today?
Maybe Dolph Ziggler? You threw him in the mix? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
And somebody wants to know how you're doing physically today after all the years of being in this pro wrestling business.
Not bad. I mean, yeah, do I hurt every day when I get up? Yep, you betcha I do. You know, but I, you know, I'm regularly go to the gym. I have a training partner at home, who is really good, Matt Minrod, who is started all 5 years at Florida State. You know, and he's got a degree in physicality or whatever and nutrition, and you know, I talk to him a lot and train with him, so I kind of get to work around all my injuries, and I feel pretty good. I mean, I really, you know, my life now is really good, so I feel good. I, you know, like to think that I still look halfway decent. So,
and then what is a typical day like for Kip James?
A typical day, a non-wrestling day?
Yeah, a non-wrestling day.
I get up, I make my wife coffee, and if she wants something to eat, I make her something to eat, because she works late. She's a GM, a general manager at Hooters, right, about 30 minutes from our house. So she usually works late, so I get up, I make her breakfast, I make her coffee, me and her hang out, and I get ready here in just a little while, I'll get ready and go to work. She'll go to work, and I go train people at the Champions Training Center, and then I come home and hang out with my dogs, and then I'll go back and train, and that's it. I mean, that's basically what I do.
When you're out, you know, socially, you know, go out to a restaurant or a club, are you widely recognized? Are you like, you know, people flocking towards you when you're out?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pretty much still. I mean, not too much in my town because everybody's seen me here. You know, when I still go through the airports, everybody still, I mean, it's hard not to recognize me. I'm still, you know, I mean, I didn't shrink any, so I'm still 6'5", you know, to about 270, 275. So, I mean, it's hard not to go, you know, and a lot of people come up to me and still know who I am. And a lot of people go, hey, you're wrestling, aren't you? And they went, oh, I know who you are, but I can't. Billy Gunn, like, oh my God. You know, so, I mean, they still recognize me and still know. They kind of figure, okay, being that big, you have to be somebody. So, I mean, I still get a little bit in it, but it's just not, you know, not the way it used to be. You know, it used to be craziness, but now, you know, people are still pretty good about it.
So what is, like, the most typical question you get?
When am I going back to WWE?
When are you going back?
Yeah, that is it. I get that on Twitter at least 50 times a day. Or we're voting for you to go, you and Brian, to go in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, we're closing out here with Billy Gunn, a former WWE Tag Team Champion, Kip James and TNA. And plug your Twitter one more time, and do you have an official website?
We have a New Age Outlaw website coming up. It's not done yet, but you can email stuff, questions to us and comments or whatever you want, and we're going to start doing video blogs and video stuff with people. It's the New Age Outlaws at yahoo.com. That's one of them. Right now the official website is still down. It won't be for about a week or so, I don't think. But I'll Twitter people and I'll let you know when it is so you can plug it for us. But right now we have that email address that people can just send comments or questions, and we're going to do a video. We're going to answer all these questions via video. Because me and Brian are together a lot, so we'll put together a bunch of questions and people that are putting the questions together, and then we'll video them. Cool. And answer them, so it's a little bit more personal. And then my Twitter account, all you Twitters, it's at Real Billy Gunn, all one word, at Real Billy Gunn.
And if there's any promoters out there that want to hook up with you, that's the best way to get in contact with you.
Yeah, yeah, that too. Yep.
Definitely. Well, yeah. Billy, we really, I should say, I knew I was going to call you Billy a few times during the interview, but Kip James, we do appreciate your time today, and it's been a lot of fun, and we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on here. I'm glad I could do it.